for praise a lot today because the Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. We want God's presence in our church. We ask that the angels be around us in this church. We ask that hearts be receiving the word of God today. We thank Miss Flo is back with us. She's home with us today going through things, but she's here today. Praise the Lord. Miss Jackie's got an operation tomorrow she's facing, but she's not facing it alone.
Amen.
Greg is not alone. We have a family here, their family. Amen. Elder Pat is not here. We want to thank George Mako for being the greeter today. I'm telling you, 2 years ago, nobody would have believed that. You talk about impossible, that would have been. The next one will be George Marsh will be greeting. I'm telling you. Because they have a spirit of love inside them, but they don't, for some reason, want everybody to see it all the time. See, and people are like that. They're like, they think that they have to be. See, it's stronger to show love than it is not to show love. So George Mako was greeting. Maybe next week George Marsh will be side by side greeting. Do not come through the side door. Do not listen. We have a lot of prayers for today, and the message today is so real. Amen. Sister Bonnie, this message today is for you today, as a family, for you. We love you. Everybody loves you. And when God has a message for one person, it reaches everybody. Amen. Put your hand in the hand.
Let's pray God together. Come on.
How powerful God is. Our God, amen, our God. She had no idea about the sermon, about what's going on this week. She does her work. She prays to God about the music. That song that she just played is simply, God will take care of you. That's the song that she played this morning. That should give you goosebumps to know that God is in this house, that you are in the house where God can reach you. Amen? That is so important. And it's not about how many songs we sing or who sings the songs. It's about the spirit that gets in your heart from the music, from anything that reaches you. But it's not about the singers or the dancers or the clappers. It's about your spirit being touched by God. And if that didn't touch your spirit, we're going to continue to try to do that until we get to that point. Amen. Let's stand up and pray together. We do this each and every Sunday at our church here at Second Congregational. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. That's our God, too. Our Father in heaven forever and ever. Stay standing. Hymn 501. Gene is going to sing. In Christ, there is no east or west. All the verses. Good morning, Miss Jean. I was asked to be the pastor here, and the lady from the newspaper came and said, what do you think you're going to do? So I'm going to bring joy. I said, the church needs to have joy. We're going to face a lot of trials and tribulations. Can I get an amen? But as we face them, we need to have joy. Amen. We need to see God in our lives. We need that joy to build up where? In our hearts, Miss Dale. And I pray that every week that we get joy, we get unity, we understand the power of God's word. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Let's read together our responsive reading. Oh, by the way, in the bulletin, you might find it interesting from the pastor's desk. I have a whole, Marilyn and I put a thing about chapter and verse in the Bible, because when Paul was writing and when David was writing, they were writing letters, Sergio. They weren't writing and numbering everything that they were writing. And there's a reason for why it's like that in the Bible and where it started and why it started. I think basically the best way to explain it is they started that so we could understand the reading clearer. We could remember where scripture was. We could remind ourselves, oh, that was John 15:7. And that just helped us to read God's word. Amen. And there's nothing greater than this book. Don't judge a book by its cover. I tell all my new friends all the time. In my heart, the Yankees are playing in the World Series. I don't care what anybody says. Not ever. Hallelujah. That's what we got, laughter in church. We have joy in church. It's just so important that this church becomes you. Not the pastor. Not what the pastor says, but what the pastor reads. The church becomes you. That when you walk through that door, you're saying, I'm finally home. I had 6 days to wander and roam. 6 days to get messed up. 6 days to read the newspaper. And I didn't recharge myself for 6 days. I need to come here and get cleansed. See, you can cleanse yourself every day. Twice a day. Three times a day. By just opening up a scripture, opening up a psalm, finding a book. Hallelujah. I'm just encouraging you to do so God can bless you. Because the more you know about God, the more He could bless you because you see it. Amen? Hallelujah. Responsive reading, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set our glory above the heavens. Hallelujah. That's powerful. When I consider your heavens, Lord, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Yet he loves us, for you have made him a little lower than the angels for now, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Hallelujah. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field. O Lord our God, O Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. How much of the earth? Praise God. The other day we were talking, and all you heard about was Hurricane Matthew. It's my son's name too. And the next hurricane coming is Nicole, our daughter's name. So, but they showed a man standing at the shore. And he was standing there, and you could see the vastness of the ocean. Amen. He's standing, one little pebble, standing at the shore, Margie, looking at the ocean and all that water. And I'm thinking, how can they not understand and see that God had to create something so beautiful, so perfect? That their imagination of an explosion creating something so magnificent, that's unbelievable to me. It's just unbelievable. Even anybody who didn't know anything about God or however, they'd have to say, you mean something just happened, an explosion, and the earth is 185 billion years old, and for the last 185 billion years, Bunny, nothing else has happened like that? And he stood there at the water's edge, and I saw that, and I said, it's magnificent what God is doing. Amen. And this fall, you're going to see the colors in the trees. And how many of you had anything to do with those trees changing colors? How many? God said, how do you like me now? He's painting a picture so beautiful so that we can see that with our hearts and see that. And the Bible says a rainbow. Did anybody ever know that actually, according to the Bible, according to my own interpretation, that rainbow is his signature? God loves you because God said, I will send that rainbow, and that will be my signature to you to know that I will never do what I did with the flood again. That is his sign for us. Amen. I believe that. God has blessed us with so much, yet we get in the way of believing for it. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh my God, I love talking about God. Now, I did not know this. Did you know that last week was a week that the pastors and priests were able to talk about politics in church? I don't remember the name they gave it, but I missed out on that one. And then I started praying and talking to my friend Smith Wigglesworth. For those of you that don't know, Wigglesworth is one of the pastors that I read. He was from England. I just loved the way he talked about God and the way he read God. And I would say, well, Pastor Wigglesworth, what would you think? And I think that Pastor Wigglesworth would say, well, maybe some man said that you can stand on a pulpit and talk about politics. But I think Wigglesworth would say, just wasted time. You're going to waste your time. What the people are hungry for is the Word of God. They don't care what I think. I've been wrong in opinions before, so why would you follow mine now? You're humans. You're adults to know what you want to do in the world and how the world works, amen, and the politics of the world. Wigglesworth would say, don't waste your time. He said, you don't have that kind of time. You have 20 minutes on a Sunday to talk about him. So that when you leave here, you're stronger with with him. When you leave here, maybe you'll call that sister you haven't talked to in 5 years. When you leave here, maybe you'll call that brother. Maybe you'll call that dad and say, you know what? I still love you. You're driving me crazy, but I love you because God is inside. Maybe when you leave here hearing about God, you'll just do things that you never thought possible. Amen? So when I prayed and I read some of Wigglesworth and I thought about it, he'd stand here and say to pastors, you don't have time for that nonsense. Those things are going to be what they are. But with God, your life. Whose life? Hallelujah. And this is the testimony. And this is what I pray the churches would tell people. We face trials and tribulations in this world. Amen. Can I get an amen? We face, Sergio, the unthinkable. The unthinkable, Bonnie. We face those unthinkables in this life. In what life? This life. Sometimes there are no words. Understand. Understand, Marcia. Sometimes there's no words to say. No words. No words that can heal the heart at that moment. That's when love. And what does the Bible say that love is? The greatest of all these. Amen. The greatest gift. That when love takes over, a hug, a warmth, a tear, just two, always stronger than how many? One. Hallelujah. Even three sometimes can be too many in a time when you face the unthinkable. Three could be noise. Sometimes the third one is meaning well, but it's not necessary. It's that one. Hallelujah. Are you with me? One hand to hold, one spirit to comfort. We all face these times. Can I get an amen? We all face the unthinkable. And we all have a choice. The choice is to face them with God or without God. That's a choice. That's the only choice you have. And myself, and this is an opinion, I cannot imagine the depth of darkness that I would feel without Jesus when I face the unthinkables. Because Jesus is, say that with me, Jesus is. He's not just a thought. He's not just a spirit. He is. According to this book, he is. And he's the reason for our salvation. Amen. He is sitting at the right hand of his Father, listening to our prayers and being with us each and every minute. He is. I can't imagine the pain that people feel facing the unthinkable without him. Even though I can't see him, I know right here that he's with me. I can't imagine that. I believe that with all my heart. I do. Are you with me? Now, the Bible talks about healing. Amen. People want to be healed from so many things. This is the testimony of God. Healing of the heart, the mind, and the spirit. That it comes from the core. It comes from so deep. It comes from beyond your own understanding him. The healing that comes from God in the times of the unthinkable are beyond your own understanding, because you face that right there. The first minute you think, I'll never get through this. In my mind, I can't get past this. Losing my mother, losing my father, losing my... I don't know how I can get past it, but with God, I got past it. With God, I was able to smile again and to laugh again. And with God, I was able to remember things that I needed to hold on to. The heart. The healing starts with God, beyond our own understanding. And this is what we're praying for in this church. Impossible. Amen. Mike, the world would tell you it's impossible to get over the unthinkable. But with God, how many things are possible? All things. You see, we have the Father, and we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. That Spirit is inside you. That Spirit is so important. That is God inside of you, moving you to overcome the unthinkable. Amen? Today, as a family, look around your family. We face attacks. We faced a lot of attacks in this last year, and we're still facing them. And some facing them today, this hour. The unthinkable. We could never overcome them alone. Remember that. Alone, you can't do it alone. The pain's too much. The pain hurts too much. But as a church and as a family facing the unthinkable, we will rise higher. Amen? We will look up. And then we will reach up. Reach up so high until we feel God's hand. And we will hold on to that hand. Hold on to that hand facing the unthinkable until our heart starts to mend. Until the pain starts to just ease. And we take a breath. And we have that person holding on with you, that person praying with you. We will rise higher because God can make it possible. We will rise higher because God will make it possible. Amen? And then listen, listen. We become stronger. Amen? You become stronger. When we overcome the unthinkable, Dale, when you, because you've overcome it this spring with your grandchild, you became stronger because you overcame the unthinkable. And with that strength, all of a sudden your faith is stronger because the miracle of healing entered you, God's Spirit. Though your pain is still, you miss, and that's real. You've overcome that with God. The things you faced that you didn't think you could face are now things that you tell other people about. You encourage, you lift up, you hold. The unthinkable. We become stronger together. Our faith has more power. Our prayer has more power. Amen. As we overcome the unthinkable, we begin, listen to this. David, you overcame the unthinkable. Amen. You overcame the unthinkable. So, all of a sudden, you can see more clearly. And listen, Greg, the everyday needs that you have, the everyday worries that you have, they become understood. See, God took care of the unthinkable, so he's certainly going to help me pay my rent. And God overcame the unthinkable, so he's certainly going to find me a mate to be with. And God overcame the unthinkable, so he's certainly going to help me at my job. He's going to help me in school. He's going to help me with my family because I'm looking up to him. Surely if I got through the unthinkable, I am so strong now that the daily pains and sufferings and the daily tribulations will be meaningless now. Because you have allowed God into your heart, amen? So as a family, we stand against the unthinkable. When you do that, there is nothing that will hinder your prayers or your faith. And if you walk through the unthinkable in this church, there will be nothing impossible for this church to achieve. Because it won't be you and it won't be me. It'll be God achieving the unthinkable, the impossible. The mayor was here 2 weeks ago and I said, we want to change this town. We can't do it, but God can do it. We are only the vessels that can help. Amen. So as a church, we will pray together. We will lift up. We will unify. We will be stronger. And every unthinkable that we face and we walk through will make our faith stronger and our prayer stronger. Because that's the way that God intended it to be for us. To be stronger. To enjoy this life. Amen? Say that with me. Enjoy this life. Have fun in this life. The beautiful gifts that he gives us. The fall colors. The beautiful air. The rain. The snow. Anything that we see, we can enjoy with God. And see it more clearly. Because once we've walked through the unthinkable, the daily struggles are nothing any longer. You see, Satan loses another tool. He doesn't understand that. See, Satan comes to steal and rob, and he thinks he stole and robbed something. But no, he just made us stronger now. You see, he just made us stronger, and he drew us, even though he was trying, and he tried it with the Son. He thought that if Jesus died, he would win, and the second Jesus died, he realized, uh-oh, I lost. So with the unthinkable that he puts in front of us, he thinks it's going to pull us away from God, but what happens? No. As a church, as a family, and you as a person, you draw closer to who? Because that's where you need to be. That's his testimony. Let's pray, Lord, help us. As we come to you, we don't need to hear the words from outside. We don't need to hear anybody's thoughts from the world and the world's problems. We simply need to hear about you. We almost don't have time for any of that, Lord. We have time to be with you and our loved ones and to heal those around us and to bless those around us and to receive your blessings, your joy. Because all the talk and the stuff that the world wants us to talk about, that won't bring us any joy. The talk of the world will divide us. It will divide friends. It will divide neighbors. Who wins then? Nobody. But when we talk about God, when we tell others about God, when we bring them to Jesus' presence, then we all win. Wigglesworth was right. He said, Pastor Larry, you don't have time for that nonsense. You have time about God. And that's going to heal you, heal me, heal this church, and heal this town, and bring us stronger, and raise us up in ways that yesterday we didn't think possible. God's way. In Jesus' name I pray. Praise of his people. Praise him, church. Thank you, Lord. Do it in your car. Praise him in your car. Praise him at work. When you're at the computer, thank you, Lord, for the... You just start praising God, and your mind will start to get closer to God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Whew. God is so good. And if Elder Pat was there, she'd say, right, amen. God is good all the time. Too stubborn to change. Anybody here too stubborn to change? Thank you, Fred. I like the honesty. I felt like Balaam this week. Anybody remember the story of Balaam? Balaam was on the donkey. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord was getting, and the donkey was able to, and Balaam didn't listen to the donkey, was trying to tell Balaam about the, you know, I felt like that. Too stubborn to change. You? Amen. I was shooting my bow and arrow this week, and I had the target 10 yards away. I was practicing. Every arrow I shot, about 3 inches to the right. Shooting good. My form is good, George. 10 minutes, 3 inches to the right. 3 inches to the right. Well, I got this. I got this thing on my bow. It's called a sight pin. And I'm putting that sight pin right on the bullseye. And I hit 3 inches to the right. I was arguing with an inanimate object. I was demanding that this inanimate object change the arrow over there. And then a light went on. I took my Allen wrench, turned it a few times, moved the sight over a couple of times, tightened it up. I get it. Bullseye. Too stubborn to change. You ever wonder if God feels that way about us ever? Too stubborn to change. Anyone who has ever had good success has had to do one thing. Tell the truth. Anybody you see, whether you like them or not, whoever it is, your friend, the person, if they had good success, they had to do one thing. They had to work for it. Amen. They didn't wake up one day with success. They had to work for it. They had to be determined to be successful. And then they had that heartfelt prayer that they were going to, maybe it would, maybe they never even prayed, but they had this determination and heartfelt desire to be successful. They didn't wake up the week after successful. They worked at it, and they continue to work at it. Amen? But you love, how many love anybody? Love you? You love somebody? I wish Brendan and Roger were here today, because this was going to them today. I'm sorry. You pray for joy, for peace, for comfort. Amen? How many worry? You worry about, anybody here worry about those that you love? You do. I know you do. Does that not make your spirit want to do those things that will allow you a allow you to do things for those that you love. Amen? Doesn't that, the fact that you love them means you want to do things in your spirit. You want to be free. How many want to be free to do all things? The Bible says we are free to do all things, but all things are not profitable for the body. Can I get an amen? We're too stubborn to change. A lot of things we do. Love looks outside. We just talked about love looks outside what we want. Oh, that's a hard one. Amen. Love reaches deeper to present ourselves. When you love somebody else, you want to present yourself a light. Amen. You want to be that light for those of the ones that you love to what? Follow that light. Amen. So you set the example. You're walking and you want them to see you walking. And you're praying and you want them to see you praying. And you want to tell them, amen. Now, I got to tell you something with us folks. I don't know if people worry about this, or I don't know if the bondage or if the worry or what the devil's telling your flesh, amen, because we're going to read about that. But God, who doesn't take things away from you. If you got love for music, he's going to give you music. If you got love for whatever you have love for, the outdoors, he's going to give. He's not taking things away from you. He's not trying to. But, say that with me. What you remove from your life that is not from God, guess who can fill that? God. See, he's not removing anything. You're sometimes doing things that hinders what God wants to do. I'm sorry, it's the truth. Can I get that? When you remove things that are not from God, that will allow God to fill you with his things. What you feel, the Bible says your flesh desires, they will cause you pain. So many times, what you think that you like, what Satan has put in your head, said, I like this, and this is what I like, and I'm too stubborn to change, even though I know this is going to be bad for me. And they call, the Bible calls it sin, okay? The word sin, the sin's in the Bible. Sin is just things against what God would want for you, amen? All this here, people say, oh, I committed these sins. No, if any of the, all these things are said, if you do any of these things, it just hurts your life, amen? It hurts the people around you, amen? When you say bad things about your mother and father, when you steal, when you rob, see all these wonderful things, oh, those are sins. No, those are lies, guidelines that say, don't do these, because when you do, so many people get hurt. Amen. So that's sin. Everybody. So what you feel, we're too stubborn to change it. It feels good. And so I'm not picking on anybody today. I'm picking on all of us today to understand what we do. I eat too late at night. I can't say no to the second bowl of pasta. I am not exercising enough like I should. 20 minutes, 10. There are so many things in my life that are keeping me in bondage. Because I don't exercise, because I'm not getting up, I have a problem getting up in the morning because I'm too tired. I did that to me. God didn't do that to me. You see, but if I started exercising a little bit more, I might feel a little better in the morning and get up and want to do some things. See? And I am talking this. I know it's hard to hear this, but there are things that we all do that keep us in bondage. Amen? Hallelujah. What you feel your flesh desires will cause you pain. You could ever imagine for your... See, bondage. Say that word with me. Bondage. What is bondage? That sounds like a terrible word. That's a tool of Satan. I don't even like talking about him. We all... It says, Paul is telling us, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. He's made you what? And then it's, do not, say that, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So what's he saying? Don't turn to God, ask God, and God's going to heal you. He's going to bring your family together. He's going to do things. You got grandchildren you want to do things for. You got to be healthy to do them. You want to be happy. And why go back to bondage? God's not going to do that. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do those things you wish. You understand? He's saying, the things you the flesh, like I shouldn't have the second bowl of pasta. I shouldn't eat so late at night. There's so many things that I do that I should not do. The Bible's telling me, don't do the fleshly desires. Eat when you're supposed to. Eat what you're supposed to. You know, just if you're going to have a drink in the afternoon or whatever. Do things the way that in moderation. I mean, there's so many wonderful blessings. He said, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh. And then the Bible, Paul goes on to say some of the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery and lewdness, idolatries. Listen to one of these. Listen to this word. I want you to hear especially this one word in the Bible. Galatians 5:20. Sorcery. Next time you understand that, that is the work of the flesh. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Anybody ever had one of them? Well, that outburst of wrath is going to keep you in bondage, because what you say will be remembered. Even if the person you love so much heard it, that will hurt them. Selfish ambitions. Anybody? Dissensions. Anybody? Heresies. Envy, murder, drunkenness. And the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those, now listen to this, this one word here is very important, stay with me. I told you in the past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What word did I use there? Why would God tell us that? Why would practice? You see, because people say, about, oh, I see you have a cigarette, you're going to go to hell. You have a drink. Oh, that's bad. That's a sin. You went to the casino. That's a sin. No, he said practice. Anybody? What's practice? Greg, you know practice. The guys in basketball, they practice. How many times? Every day. They practice basketball. Amen. They practice baseball. So it's saying you know, it's like you sin and you practice it. You go to the casino every day and you spend all your money every day, and your rent money's gone and your bank money's gone. That's practicing and not doing. Amen. The world is too ready. Listen, the world is too ready to judge you. Judge who? Yes, because you call yourself a Christian. You're supposed to be perfect. Where did they get that from? The world. They didn't get it from this book. Amen. Hallelujah. I love this. You know, I read this in church a couple of years ago when Tori was here. She loved this thing. How many have a problem with bondage? Nobody else but me? Anybody ever said this? I'm not quitting because I like it. I'm not quitting because it makes me feel good. I'm not quitting until I, you know, okay. You ever said that? That's bondage. Amen. If your habit causes you to have to do something else than what you would rather be doing, amen, that's bondage. Amen. If your habit causes you to spend more money than you should be spending, that's bondage. If your habit is causing your health to deteriorate, and you know it, it's bondage. Amen, Kim? It's bondage. When you're under that bondage, you're under the weight of it. Amen? And God can't pull you out. He's trying to. He's giving you His word. You got the Spirit inside of you. And the Bible says it's fighting inside of you. It's fighting your here. It's here, fighting here, fighting here, fighting here. What do I do? Oh, Lord, what a... Listen to Paul. I love this. Paul says, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. See? This might be you. When I say I, Paul is writing I about himself. So every time I say I, would you just think of yourself? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Say that with me. Practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Paul said, I find then a law that evil is present with me, and the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I delight in being God's child. I delight in the blessings. I delight in the love that the family, the people around me, I delight in that. I want to be a light to them. I want to lead them. I want to show them. I want to be around forever to show them everything that I want them to have. I want them to receive. I delight in the law of God. According to the inward man, my spirit inside delights in God and how He is. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Ha, 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 ha. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And Paul says this, and you all can I say it too, the second bowl of pasta. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I thank God. Thank you. Bondage. A power that controls your mind and your body. Amen. Something that steals your joy. Bondage. A false comfort. Can I get an amen? Now I ask you, how many have hope for tomorrow? How many want something better for tomorrow? Let me tell you about getting over the bondage. And I will just use this one. Please, I'm using this one. My brother Johnny was smoked all his life. All his life. Probably since he was 15 years old. He had no choice. He had to quit smoking. He got cancer. Too late maybe to quit, but he had to quit. If he wanted more time, if he wanted to be a little healthier, he had to quit. I was there with him. I saw the pain of that bondage from that cigarette. I saw that. I saw him suffer because his mind was saying, I want one of them. And then he'd say to me, you know, Larry, I'm learning that these cigarettes are a lie because it says I need one and I have one. And 10 minutes later, it says I need another one. And then I need another one. And an hour later, I need another one. He said, I can't. It just what I need. And then I have it and I realize I didn't need it at all. But he suffered with that bondage and I was with him. And let me tell you about victories. Say that word with me, victories. Because victories come in a year. Amen. Sometimes it takes a year. Sometimes it takes a month. Sometimes it takes a day. But let me tell you about the bondage with this one, with my brother. Sometimes victories come in minutes. You know what I'm saying? I encouraged him every minute. He didn't have one. I said, hey, it's a half hour. You haven't had one. Oh, yeah, really? Oh, yeah, you know. And I'd call him up, and I'd encourage him. And then he would say to me this. He would say, oh, I had a cigarette today. So you slipped. Not a failure. You fell back for a minute. We're working on this problem. We're not expecting you to a miracle for whatever's bondage that all of a sudden you're fine and dandy. No, he said I slipped and he felt bad. And guess what I did? I lifted him up. I encouraged him. Because again, victories come in minutes. Sometimes it might be an hour. Oh, and he went through it. Let me tell you, he was a bear. I would just look at him and smile. I felt bad after. He'd see somebody else smoking, and they wouldn't put the cigarette. Dunkin' Donuts. They wouldn't put the cigarette out. They'd put it outside out on the thing. He tried to stick it there. And go, look at that. Look at that. He ain't even putting it out. Look at that. He's gonna leave it there. And he'd walk by out the door holding his nose like this. He was in agony. And let me tell you about this. I love you, Johnny. But when he was smoking and we went to the restaurant for breakfast, guess what? There it was, right next to my ham and eggs. The cigarette. George? Am I telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yeah, I know. I don't want to pick on him. All I'm saying to you is that you've got so much around you, so much good around you. The Bible is saying, you're warring, your body's saying, no, God, don't eat that second bowl of pasta. Please, it's 9 o'clock, don't have that sandwich. And I can't stop myself. I'm eating dinner at 9:30 watching the Yankee game. I'm getting aggravated watching the Yankees. I'm getting aggravated. And I wonder why I can't sleep at night. So And I don't mean to pick on the cigarette thing, but that's one of the most obvious that I see people in bondage, that they have to stop what they're doing. Amen. They have to stop what they're doing. And I know that you've started and quit and started. You're starting. No. Yes. And I know that you had another one, but it's not a failure when you do. You see, we fall back.
We saw you. No,
but you know what? We saw you. And you know why nobody's? Because we know you're done with it. We know. You see, because that's the devil saying, hey, try one. Try another drink. Try a listener. And you have that. And you say, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. It's been the worst thing that's ever happened to me. So I tell God, I said, I'm, after 7 o'clock at night, I'm not eating like that anymore. I'm not going to eat like that. Maybe 6 o'clock at night. But see, we work such a strange schedule. We do. And that's an excuse, isn't it, honey? We go to McDonald's and Burger King. And I saw my brother have one, and I didn't say nothing because I knew at that moment he thought he had to have it. And the fact that he had it told him that he doesn't need it anymore. Amen? I need to exercise more, 20 minutes a day. I need to do more. If I want to shoot my bow good day, what do I need to do? Practice. Amen. There's joy in this book. Even in the midst of the unthinkable, people are smiling today. I know Elder Pat, she got a really bad report about her daughter, but I know that she's there knowing the future. She's knowing where her daughter's going, but that's not enough for now. She's going to give her love. The bondage that you have, the things that are holding you down, that's just the devil stealing your joy. When your mind says, I can't because I like it, it's a lie. Your body is lying to you because your spirit knows. And if you have people around you that you love and people you want to show and you want to have a long, wonderful time with them, I got to stop eating at 10 o'clock. I got to exercise if I want to see my granddaughter get married. I have to do. You have to do. But let me tell you something. You will feel so great. And those of you people who are around other people that have to give up something, please understand, the only thing that they need from you is encouragement. Encouragement. Lift them up. Help them out a little bit. When they backslide, they have one say, you know what? You were 2 hours without having that pasta. You were 2 hours. You exercised for 10 minutes. Wasn't that great? 10 minutes. That was great. If they don't exercise the next day, say, you did it the other day. That was great. Encourage them. Do not belittle them. Do not holler at them. Do not condemn them. Because we all, how many? All have bondages. It could be our stubbornness. It could be our anger. It could be all sorts of things. But God is going to remove. And I'm telling you right now, I can tell you this. I can tell you this from this book. When you do that, as impossible as you think it is, and there's people here today facing the unthinkable today. If they can face that, you can face that. And as hard as you think it is, your victories will bring you joy. My God, they will bring you joy. Kim, you couldn't stop talking yesterday about all that God did for you. It was, I said, Marilyn, you better get your computer burned up because she gives you that testimony. We're going to need about 3 of these bulletins. When the Word of God enters your heart, that is where hope begins, brothers and sisters. When God enters your heart, and nobody look at anybody else's bondage like you're better than them. Nobody look at the other person, say, I'm going to help you. Marty, you have music. One of the greatest gifts that God gives it. People can't sing. They can't play. You can. You just tell the devil, I don't need this sin. This is bondage. I got to stop writing my song because I got to go outside and have a cigarette. That's bondage, man. You're old. Nothing. It's like little tiny thing, like the sight pin. I'm shooting 3 inches to the right because I was too stubborn to move it. We got to stop being stubborn. I wasn't silly. Kidding, but I know George Marchman sounds a little boy. He was so wonderful to me all my life. You have no idea how he helped me out through the woods and fishing. And I said, him and George Makel should be greeters here because that's the way God works. Amen? That six months or a year from before you would have thought it impossible. You might have thought it impossible that you'd be in this church today. Amen? But here you are. So why not continue with that walk with Christ? Hallelujah. Wish Brenda was here. And I'm going to close now because this is so powerful. But when you overcome those bondages, each and every one, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be alone and you're going to get on your knees. And you're going to look up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you gave me this chance. Thank you, Lord, that you were with me. Thank you that you sent those to encourage me, to help me, because, Lord, I really want what you want for me. I have all this joy and these hopes and these dreams, and I'm not going to reach them if I allow these bondages to hold me down. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to work harder for me, for you, for my spirit. And you'll get on your knees, and you'll give thanks. Give them praise, church. I wouldn't move that pin over. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. I want you to listen to this a little bit. I know this is over, but I want you to listen to just a little of this. When you say, maybe it's too late, I've done too much, God won't help me, I'm 50 years old now, whatever. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. He did what? Hezekiah said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. And remember, I have done what was good in your sight." And then Hezekiah wept bitterly. And as it happened, before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up and to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Syria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Hallelujah. Then Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." So they took it, laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Talk to God. Talk to God. God says when it is. God says when it's not. Amen. That is so powerful. See, people think that there's a time. And the Bible, some of it says a time. But the Bible also tells us you can pray to God and remind him that you love him. Amen. He's such a giving God.